In the frozen heart of Ice Age Europe, the most feared predator wasn't a lion or bear. It was a Neanderthal with a razor-sharp spear. They weren't just survivors, they were the apex predators. Some of their weapons were so sharp that they put any metal blade to shame, and others so brutal that they could crack the thickest bones with a single blow. We're going to explore their weaponry. What did they hunt? How did they defend themselves? And were these weapons only used for survival or for something darker? We'll recreate some of their tools, test them in slow motion, and dive into the science behind their deadly designs. From bone-shattering clubs to razor-sharp knives, we'll uncover the ingenuity of these ancient humans. And yes, we'll smash a few things along the way, so let's get started. The earliest Neanderthals appeared well over 400,000 years ago, evolving from Homo heidelbergensis. Eventually, what we consider Neanderthals would spread all around Europe and much of Asia. However, evolution never stops, and classic Neanderthals wouldn't appear until around 130,000 years ago. These individuals had distinctly Neanderthal traits, such as shorter limbs, barrel-shaped chests, and very large brains. I find it important to mention that Neanderthals were not stuck on some evolutionary plateau. Like our ancestors, they continued to adapt, and so did their weaponry. To understand their weapons, we must first mention one of the most important Neanderthal sites ever found, the Schoningen site. Here we have found 10 wooden spears made by the hands of Neanderthals. And what's even more insane is that they are unfossilized. Most ancient bones you see in a museum went through the process of fossilization, which means that they are essentially just a cast of the original. But these are the actual spears used by Neanderthals over 300,000 years ago. This kind of preservation is extremely rare, and made possible by the fact that these spears were quickly covered in sediment. The spears found at Schoningen were very well made. They were made of spruce and pine trees and between 6 to 8 feet or 1.8 to 2.5 meters in length. The harder bases of the trees were used for their points, and most of the spears taper on both ends. It was found that they were weighted similarly to modern tournament javelins, making them effective ranged weapons. A prevalent myth is that Neanderthals were incapable of throwing their spears. This is largely an outdated idea, and their anatomy would have allowed for them to throw efficiently. The spears found at Schoningen are strong evidence that the Neanderthals would have thrown at least some of their spears. You may be skeptical about the effectiveness of a simple wooden spear, so let's put them to the test. First, I threw the spear at a clear block of ballistics gel. The penetration was impressive, especially if you compare it to the impact of a spear thrower dart with a Clovis point on it. Next, I threw the javelin at a ballistics gel block with ribs and a lung.
Oh, perfect!
The penetration was impressive. The sleek wooden point slipped by the ribs and penetrated far into the lungs. These weapons would have certainly been capable of hunting animals as large as deer, horses, bison, and possibly even larger. At the site of Leiringen in Germany, a wooden spear was found embedded in the ribs of a straight-tusked elephant, an animal that could be twice as large as a mammoth. Wooden weapons were clearly deadly, though by attaching a stone point, they became even deadlier. But to understand this technology, we must briefly talk about their stone tool technology. Early Neanderthals made simple Acheulean tools, consisting of big, clunky bifaces and sharp flakes. Hand axes were used for smashing food, digging, and maybe as weapons, while their flakes were used for cutting and scraping, but they were quite random and misshapen. Then, about 300,000 years ago, Neanderthals leveled up with the invention of the Levallois technique. Instead of randomly chipping away at stone, they carefully shaped cores and then struck off specific controlled flakes. With one prepared strike, a razor-sharp tool came off the core ready to use. A Levallois knife is made by simply taking a large flake off the top of a core. This flake is sharp on three sides, perfect for using as is or hafting in a handle. A Levallois point can be made by taking off two flakes, and then taking off a flake in the middle. This creates a flake with two converging razor-sharp edges, perfect for penetrating prey. And when I say razor-sharp, I am not exaggerating. When pressing a flint Levallois point against the sharpness tester, I get a similar score to a utility razor. And if I test an obsidian Levallois point, I get a score sharper than almost any metal blade. Obsidian is in fact much sharper than the sharpest steel blades, though this test does not capture the microscopic sharpness of obsidian, as the edge collapses before the wire is cut. So instead I'll just show you me cutting some very thick leather and some other things that might help you understand that these tools are really, really sharp. I really cannot emphasize just enough how deadly one of these points were. Even compared to later, technically more advanced technology, these points are arguably sharper while being easier to make. Flake-based tools are really ingenious when you think about it. They were so effective that our own species were also making them at the time, and they continued to be used all the way into the last century in Australia. Known as Le Lyra points, they show us just how deadly this technology could have been when hafted in a spear shaft. Neanderthals also made much more complex leaf-shaped points that were far more symmetrical than a Levallois point. The main advantages of a bifacial point is that it is more symmetrical, allowing for better penetration. They can also be resharpened much easier. Bifacial points like these were hardly even used by our species this early on, and it stands as a testament to the Neanderthals that they were able to make this technology. Sharp stone tools are useful, but securing them in a handle can make them much more effective. By hafting these points in spears, Neanderthals became the deadliest predators of Ice Age Europe. Points were likely hafted onto wooden spears with adhesive and cordage. We have direct evidence of multiple kinds of glue, and cordage could have been made from fiber, rawhide, sinew, or even gut. A Levallois point hafted on a heavy spear shaft was truly a formidable weapon. A thrust or throw from this weapon could have caused a fatal injury to any animal of the glacial period. Neanderthals were powerfully built, and appear to have used explosive bursts of speed to ambush their prey. They likely preferred to hold on to their weapon to stab their prey multiple times if possible, but we do have evidence that Levallois points were also thrown. The neck vertebrae of an African wild donkey was found with a Levallois point embedded in it. The angle of the impact suggests it followed a parabolic trajectory, meaning it was likely thrown. The wound would have caused immediate paralysis of the limbs and likely a quick death. This example overturns the idea that Levallois points hafted on spears were only used as thrusting spears. To test the effectiveness of a Levallois point, I will be testing one in this ballistics gel head. This will give us a good idea of just how much energy one of these weapons had. For the test, I will use this heavy-duty point hafted on a large spear shaft. I took a step and launched the spear. The damage was mind-blowing, literally. The point easily penetrated the skull, blowing out green blood everywhere.
Well, that was absolutely devastating. I don't think this guy's going to survive this wound here. Broke off and exploded inside of his skull. I'm covered in green juice right now. Hopefully it doesn't ruin this nice coat I made, but whatever, it was meant to be dirty. That was devastating.
The ability of a Neanderthal point to create such a devastating wound is truly astounding. Compare this to the other predators of their world. Cave lions would have to tackle their prey before suffocating or crushing their spine. Even saber-toothed cats like Homotherium would have to deliver careful bites to the neck of their prey to kill them. In contrast, Neanderthals penetrated straight into the vitals of their prey. A stab to the lungs or heart of their prey would have led to a quick death, possibly quicker than the average big cat can kill its prey. It is just fascinating to me to make the comparison between hypercarnivores and human hunters. Our ability to attack the vitals is just remarkable. Neanderthals may have also used another weapon that is most often associated with our species, the spear thrower. The spear thrower consists of a simple lever to propel projectiles much faster and farther than can be thrown by hand. Though we don't have direct evidence that Neanderthals used this weapon, it is a relatively simple system that Neanderthals certainly could have come up with. And considering we know Neanderthals were capable of throwing, it is possible they used this system. As we mentioned in one of the last videos, we have evidence that a Neanderthal was wounded seemingly by a spear thrower dart tipped with a stone point, possibly suggesting Neanderthals indeed used this weapon, though it is also possible a Homo sapiens attacked this Neanderthal. Watch this video about Neanderthal violence next to learn more. Neanderthals certainly appeared to have participated in violence from time to time. Most of this violence may have been between members of the same group, given how small the populations were at the time. Though conflicts may have occasionally occurred between groups, close-range lethal weapons would have been useful for any such conflict. The club is a classic weapon that is commonly depicted alongside Neanderthals. A deadly blunt force weapon capable of shattering bone and knocking prey and foe out cold. As mentioned in one of my last videos, we have evidence that a Neanderthal was hit on the top of its head by some kind of weapon, which may have had stone implements embedded in it. This may have been a wooden club with sharp stone flakes hafted on it. Perhaps one of their deadly Lavalwa points was even hafted into a club to make an axe-like weapon. We know that Australian Aboriginals hafted their Leilira points to make what are called fighting picks. They were used in violent one-on-one duels and also in warfare between tribes. We don't have evidence that Neanderthals made these weapons, though I personally enjoy the creative speculation. So let's test out the effectiveness of one of these weapons on a ballistics gel skull. The results were devastating. The sharp Lavalwa point easily penetrated straight into the skull. I could even imagine a weapon like this could have been used on an injured animal to quickly put it out of commission. Another weapon we know Neanderthals used was the throwing stick. At the Shonagan site, a roughly 2-foot-long double-pointed stick was found. Researchers believe that this tool was used to throw at small game and waterfowl. The points actually helped the aerodynamics of the device. My recreation proved to be a useful tool, capable of causing damage at range. If a rabbit were to sit still long enough, I'm sure I could incapacitate it with a good throw. Throwing sticks were used all around the world until relatively recently. Many of these designs were slightly curved and included airfoils to help them fly straighter and farther. Famously, the boomerang was used in Australia to hunt small game. The vast majority of boomerangs did not come back, and many were quite large and deadly. We even have accounts that the large boomerangs used in warfare could even decapitate a man. Our oldest evidence of a boomerang actually comes from Poland and dates to around 20,000 years ago. It was carved from a mammoth tusk and would have been quite a deadly tool. We don't have evidence that Neanderthals made more complex airfoil throwing sticks, but it is certainly possible. Though this sounds like baseless speculation, we must remember that many of the tools that Neanderthals used on a daily basis were made of wood and have not survived the millennia. For example, we have an imprint of a strange wooden tool from a Neanderthal site. Though it is long gone, it almost looks like a kitchen knife, and who knows what it was used for. Due to the fact that wood doesn't often preserve, I think it is worth taking a close look at the diversity of weapons used in contemporary indigenous societies just to expand the possibilities. Large hardwood boomerangs may have cut through the flesh of prey and foe, while heavy-duty throwing clubs may have been used to smash bone and skull. I made this club based on a popular Australian Aboriginal club called the Lil Lil, like your favorite rapper, but a little smaller. It is made of ipe wood, a wood that is twice as dense and three times as hard as oak. This weapon had serious weight behind it, and the blade is hard enough to split bone. I threw it at the ballistics gel head and the results were shocking. The club doesn't just have to be thrown though, it is certainly just as deadly up close. Neanderthals certainly could have made weapons like this, and even though it is a bit out there, again, speculation is necessary in my opinion. The last weapons that Neanderthals certainly used that we need to mention are knives. Lavalwa points, Lavalwa flakes, and random stone flakes were useful cutting tools when hafted. At the Shonagan site, we have also found small wooden handles with notches carved into them. They likely held stone flakes, as we have found at the site. At other sites, we have found flakes with a strange substance on their base. Bitumen, a natural asphalt, and red ochre was mixed together to form a strong, malleable substance. This appears to have been used on sharp flakes to essentially give them a handle. I find this to be fascinating because we know Australian Aboriginals used the same idea to make handles for their Lavalwa-like knife blades. These artifacts are beautiful and often decorated. It is fascinating to think that Neanderthal tools may have not only been refined and skillfully made, but also possibly decorated with designs that had real significance to their culture. Lastly, I think it is worth mentioning that many of these weapons and tools would have been carried in a wider toolkit. They had throwing spears, thrusting spears, throwing sticks, stone tools hafted in handles, and likely many other items that have not been preserved, such as clothing, bags, and so on. These were the very tools that these people relied on to survive in the hostile world of Paleolithic Europe. bringing these tools to life just brings me so much joy, as it is a tangible connection to our very distant ancestors. To think, if a Neanderthal were to come back to life, he would recognize these implements and even have words for them. This connection, though abstract, helps us understand the story of our ancestors, the greatest story ever told. Neanderthals created incredible weapons to survive the hostile world they lived in. Their stone tools have fascinated me for years, and getting to finally test them out was a little too much fun. We have incredible remains such as what we found at Schoenigen, but clearly, the true diversity of their weapons has been lost to time. I hope you enjoyed this look into Neanderthal weapons. If you want to see more footage of them being tested, go check out my second channel, Paleolithic Productions, where I posted the full weapons testing. Thanks for watching this video. If you enjoyed it, please make sure to like, comment, subscribe, and also hit that bell icon so you never miss out on a new video. Your support actually does mean the world to this channel, because I don't have a Patreon or anything, so just make sure to like and subscribe and do all those things, and I'll keep making interesting videos about prehistory. And what would you like to see next in this channel? Leave a comment down below. There's so many topics to cover, and honestly, sometimes I see comments and I'm like, well, that's a better idea than I could have come up with. So yeah, just leave a comment down below. All right, as always, stay curious about the past, and I'll see you in the next one. Arrivederci.